In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." We represent Jesus. We are sent by Christ to represent Him. We understand the term ambassador. And if we as a country send an ambassador to another country, we want them to relay our intents as a country. Not to make up their own ideas, not to agree to things that we don't agree with, but to carry our message, our mission, our purpose forward. That's what ambassadors do, should do. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent Him. So first of all, how are we representing Christ? Are we representing Him the way we should? Does He feel represented? Does He sense that we are doing what He would have us do, since He is the sender? Remember, He said, "I send you forth as lambs among wolves. I send you forth to be doves, to bring peace and to show forth God's message in the midst of an angry and evil generation, world." And so we represent Him. Look at what He says in chapter 6 and verse 2. He say, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you right now have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to wait another moment. Because right now, from your heart to God's heart, you can say, 'God, I put my faith in You. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul. And God, I give myself to You.'" You might even say, "God, I've had my doubts. I know it's taken me a long time to get to this point. But I am ready, and Your word says now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I don't want to wait any longer. I don't want to do any more research. I don't want to dig any deeper. I don't want to look for more evidence." By the way, there's plenty of evidence. For all those who have criticized the church and criticized the scripture, the farther we go into science, the farther we go into history, the more is revealed that God's record is true, that the Bible is accurate in every point. We don't have to change it. We don't have to update it. And we certainly shouldn't question it anymore. It's real. The people that He said were there at the time He said they were there. You don't believe the story about the old giant Goliath? That's fine. Look it up. He was real. You don't believe the evidence about you don't believe the story about the flood? Keep looking around. They keep digging up shark's teeth in mountains all the time. God's record is true. And He's given us the whole counsel. It's all that we need is His word to know what we need to know about Him. But now is the day of salvation. Look at what He said in verse 1. "We then, as workers together with Him," we're ambassadors, workers together with Him, "beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Here's Paul's plea. Please don't get saved and quit there. Don't accept His forgiveness of Jesus Christ and your sins washed away, and that's it. No, don't just quit there. I mean, wouldn't it be great to know that you're going to heaven? Sure, that's good. To know that you're not going to hell, that's good. Have your name written in the book of life, that's good. But don't quit there. You know, it reminds me of the old story of the fellow who went on a cruise, and he had won a cruise. And he went on the cruise and checked his suitcase, got a suitcase in the room. He opened up his suitcase, And the steward was there and he says, why do you have all that food? He said, well, I got to eat while I'm on this cruise. He said, don't you understand? The food's included. It's all included. Everything that's here you can enjoy and you can partake. He said, oh, I didn't know it was included. And the problem with us is we got saved and a lot of us carrying a suitcase because we thought there's other stuff. No, it's all included. There's so much available to us that we just get saved and quit there. No, God's included with that salvation that we get to become part of His church. We get baptized, bury our past in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life, and we get to join this big church family. Not only with all the brothers and sisters in God, but all the brothers and sisters in the church who have said, I'm going to take the next step and I'm going to live for God. Not just be saved, not just get out of hell free, not just go to heaven, but I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to read His Word and I'm going to learn about God and I'm going to learn His truth. And I'm going to learn how to live my life in such a way that I can not only have a better life, but I can make a difference in other people's lives. Let me tell you something about being saved. If you're not making a difference in other people's lives, you're missing out on the joy of salvation. We got to be helping out. As we help others, it blesses us. It benefits us to help other people. But if we're just like a bucket instead of like a funnel, we're just taking all God's blessings, just whatever He can bless us with, and we're not blessing other people with God's blessings, then we're missing out. We are His ambassadors and we work together with Him. Look at what he says. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. One, to stop at salvation. Number two, to still carry all that guilt and shame. How many of you have sinned before? How many of you have sinned since you got saved? How many of you feel guilty about that?
Yeah, sure.
How many of you lose sleep at night when you reflect, and don't raise your hand anymore, when you look back on your past and you think about all the bad stuff you did and you think about all the people you hurt and maybe you think about something dumb you said. Hey, don't receive the grace of God in vain. That salvation says every sin. But Pastor, I did something so bad 40 years ago and now I'm going to go before God. I'm going to die and I'm going to stand before God and I don't know if He could forgive me for that sin that I committed 40 years ago. All. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't carry that guilt anymore. Don't carry that sin anymore. Don't carry that in your heart and in your mind and on your shoulders. Leave it at the cross. He's washed your sins away. All your sins are forgiven. You don't have to prove anything. All we have to do is love God, live for God. We don't have to prove anything. We don't have to balance the scales. You couldn't balance the scales anyway. There's no way I could balance the scales for the sins that I've committed trying to be good enough. No way I'll balance that. And so he says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Surrender to Him. Let Him change you. Apply His way and let the Holy Ghost guide us. Look at verse 3. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Look, we are a reflection of Jesus. We are a reflection of the church. People look at you and they say, that's a Christian. That's a Christian. Now here's the question. Do they want to be like you or not when it comes to your faith in your life? And they say, that's what Capitol Heights Baptist Church is all about. Well, is it? Are we a reflection of Jesus? Are we a reflection of the church? Because people attach you and me to this church. And to God. And so we are a reflection. And he says in verse 3, we should not give an offense in anything that the ministry be not. Well, you know, that's what they produce up there at that church. What is it that we produce up here at this church? Stingy, selfish, egotistical, proud people, or selfless, humble, loving, generous, forgiving? Or blaming and accusing. You see, what we say and do may draw people to God or may drive them away. And that's what he says. He says, look, whatever you do, remember it reflects on the ministry. And if we push people away from God, if they don't like us, they're probably not going to like the church. If they don't like us, they're probably not going to like Jesus. It's a shame that people are driven from Christianity by Christians. You've heard or read that saying of, I think it was attributed to Gandhi, speaking of Christianity, and he said, I love your Christ, I just don't understand your Christians. If we're supposed to be like Christ, why are we so different from Him? Why is it that we hold grudges and we accuse and we fight and strife between ourselves? It says in verse 4, in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In all things approving ourselves as representatives of God. When people see us, do they see Jesus? Do they see Jesus? Would Jesus speak and do the things that you do and that I do? He says in verse 4, in much patience, when they see your patience, our patience, do they say, oh, Jesus was patient? Or are we impatient? In afflictions, when trials come in our lives, do we love Jesus? Do we promote Jesus? Do we reflect Jesus? Or do people see another side of us? You see, it's nothing to be a Christian on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. But when your car breaks down and you get a flat tire, somebody runs into you at the traffic light, or you get fired, or you don't get a raise, or whatever it is in your life, and those afflictions and those trials, and then are we still Christians? When people do things to offend us, when people poke us in the eye, if you will, and they badger us and they're needling at us, trying to get us fired up, are we still Christians then? He says it's a reflection of Jesus. It's a reflection of the church. How we act in affliction. How we act in necessities. What does that mean? It means when we need something. When we're falling short. When there's too much month left after the money. Anybody ever been there? And you're looking at the bills. You're trying to balance down. You go, I don't know if I can do this. So what do we do? Do we act like Christ? Are we like Jesus? Or do we get mad and steal? I say, well, I mean, I needed it. They had extra and I needed it, so I just took it. Is that what Jesus would do? No. I can tell you what Jesus did, Brother Ronnie, when it was time to pay the taxes. He went fishing, got a coin out of the fish's mouth. It's never happened to me, but I'm willing to take a chance. Pay your taxes, just go fishing. Well, what's the point? The point is, are we like Jesus, do what Jesus would do, or do we do what the world would do? In our necessities, in our shortcomings, in our needs, do we stress about it? And he says, in distresses, what is distress? Distress is anything that aggravates us. Do we worry? Would Jesus worry? Jesus got on a ship, storm came up. Where's Jesus? Where'd he go? He's back there sleeping. In distress, Jesus slept. When they were going to throw him off the cliff in Nazareth, he just went right through the crowd, found his way through. They said, where'd he go? You know what he didn't do? He didn't just stand there and scream at them and cuss at them and fuss at them and tell them how evil they were. He just left. That's one of the best things we could do, is separate ourselves from the problems and identify if we are the problem. In distresses, are we Jesus? Verse 5, in stripes, what does that mean? That means when somebody actually puts hands on you. And we don't like to do that, do we? We don't want anybody putting their hands on us. But are we like Jesus? If they would we be like Jesus? In imprisonments. Well, I mean, nobody wants to go to jail, do they? Nobody wants to be in prison. But I'll bet, Brother Scott, when you're in there ministering, there are some people in there who, they love Jesus, don't they? Brother Robert, when he goes in the hospital, have missionary friends that are the same way, and they spend time in the hospital. They don't get mad and say, why am I in the hospital? No, they say, hey, I'm here, I might as well minister for Jesus. While I'm here, I might as well reflect Jesus. While I'm here, I might as well reflect the church. Whether that's prison or hospital or wherever you are, just reflect Jesus. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are workers together with Him. Don't receive this grace of God in vain. Don't just be saved and let it sit. Use it. He says, in tumults. In tumults. when things are upside down and people are getting crazy and sideways? Are we like Jesus? In labors? Are we complainers when we have to work? And the stuff that we just put our hands to do we complain about it the whole time, or do we just do it? Is it going to change the work if we have a bad attitude? Yes, it is going to change the work. It's going to make it worse. It's going to make it harder. One thing I learned when I was playing football in high school is, and I don't remember which coach said it, but he said, you know, when I'm doing something I don't enjoy it, I just start singing. So I'd be running those laps singing. They thought I was crazy, because I was. But I was singing, and you know what? You think you're running and singing at the same time? That'll build your lung capacity. But I'd just sing. Oh, I hated it. But I'd sing, and my attitude got better. I still sing. I don't run if I don't have to. In watchings, what is a watching? That's an expectation. That's when we're waiting for something to happen. That means there's something going to happen. And you know, so right now, what are we doing? We're watching a storm out in the Gulf, aren't we? We're watching. We don't know what's going to happen. So what are we going to do? We're going to stress about it. We don't have to stress about it, but we need to prepare for it. We need to ready ourselves just in case. But is worrying about it going to change it? No. It's not. So we need to prepare and just keep an eye on it and just trust God. If that means you go to another place and get away from the storm, fine. If that means you shelter somewhere nearby, that's fine. Or if you just say, hey, look, it's not going to come. But don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. And by the way, don't bury your head in the sand. If it's coming, it's coming. In fastings, that's in our prayer time. We're waiting on God and we're hoping and we're fasting and we're denying ourselves because we want to focus on prayer. We want to focus on the burden at hand. That's what fasting is about. Now look at verse 6. How do we reflect Christ? He said, in all these circumstances, we reflect Christ. In all of these circumstances, people see Jesus in us. How? Verse 6. By pureness. What does that mean? It means honesty. By pureness. Be who you are. Be honest. Be truthful. Don't have side deals and backside intentions. You're just what we see is what we get. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Just be honest. And even if you don't know, you know what you can say? I don't know. Let me look. I don't know. By pureness. Secondly, by knowledge. By knowledge of what? By knowledge of God. By knowledge of the situation. Knowledge of the circumstances. Wrap your head around it. Understand the situation if you can. By long suffering. What does that mean? That means don't quit. That means hang in there. We've all had situations in our lives where we wish it would go away or we wish we could come to the conclusion of that situation. And he says, just hang on. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't start complaining. Just hang in there. I'm sure we've all had people that we've dealt with, and at some point along the way, we thought, I just can't do this anymore. He says, long-suffering. Long-suffering. Lord's put up with us. Surely we could put up with each other. I like this one. Look at what he says by kindness. That goes a long way, doesn't it? By kindness. How many of you ever heard the term kill them with kindness? So far, that hasn't worked for me. You know what the truth is? The truth is that when we're kind to people, we start to appreciate them. And we don't want to kill them anymore. When we start being kind to people, when we start helping people and loving people and encouraging people, isn't that what kindness is? We win them over and they win us over. He says, by the Holy Ghost. Guys, don't try to do this in your flesh, because I'll tell you what, my flesh won't put up with that stuff. My flesh is not long-suffering. My flesh is not kind. My flesh is not pure. But when the Holy Spirit has control of my life, when I listen to the Holy Ghost, when I lean on the Holy Ghost, when I trust in Him, I tell you, I can be kind in every situation and long-suffering and loving and pure. Just be yourself. Just look at what it says in verse 6. By love unfeigned. Last part. By love unfeigned. What does that mean? It Corey laughs at me sometimes because of my smile. I see people, I smile real big. He said, that's fake. It's not fake. That is my natural reaction. I see people I love, I smile. I guess something about my smile, he thinks it's a fraud. It's a put on. He said, you put on that fake smile. It's not a fake smile. I mean, I can't walk around all the time doing that. Right? But in that instant, in that moment, when I'm happy to see somebody I love, I smile. Love and faith. Hey, look, it's not a put on. If I tell you I love you, I love you. If I show you I love you, I love you. I don't want anything in return. It's incredible that people who don't know Jesus and are not familiar with Christians being this way are so overwhelmed when we just show them love and don't expect anything in return. We say, well, I'll just do that for you. Oh, well, I can't pay you. Yeah, I didn't ask for money. I don't want your money. I just want to do this for you. But why would you want to do that for me? Why not? Because I can. It's easy. I'm here. Let me just do it for you. But that's not your job. I know it's not my job. Kindness. Love, unfeigned, undisguised. Not plastic, right? Unfeigned. It's not pretend. It's real. You know why? Because we ought to just help each other. We ought to just love each other. And loving each other is not a feeling. It's action. It's purpose. Continuing, he told us, He told us to reflect Jesus in all the situations, but how do we reflect Jesus? Look at verse 7, by the word of truth. I don't know how to be like Jesus unless I know about Jesus. And how am I going to know about Jesus if I don't read his word? By the way, how can I help people the most? By giving them his word. Because the word of God is real. It's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is powerful, the Bible says. And so give them the word of God by the word of God and by the power of God. Again, I can't do this in the flesh. I can only do this by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. How many of you have ever done something you didn't think you could do? Yeah. I don't know if I could do this. Well, but we can do it by the power of God. Let God work through us. Become a vessel of God. By the armor of righteousness. This is great. Look at what he said. By the armor of righteousness. You know, there are people, there will be people, there maybe have been people who have tried to attack us. Who have tried to destroy us in our integrity, in our character, in our reputation, in our testimony. They said, I'm going to wipe you out. You know, the best armor we've got is the truth. Because when people lie about us, here's the thing. Will people believe it if they really know us? Will you believe what this guy did? That's not what I know about him. That's not the way he is around me. Why would I believe something that's so out of character, we say? The best thing we've got is the armor of righteousness. If we'll live right and do right, they can throw all the darts and arrows they want. Nobody's going to believe that garbage. They can lie about us all they want. I don't get upset about lies. They're lying about me. I don't get upset about that stuff. Why? Because people know who I am. We ought to all have that as our character and as our defense. You can say anything you want to. People know the truth. The armor, the protection of righteousness. On the right hand and on the left. By dishonor, by honor and dishonor. By evil report, good report. As deceivers, yet true. As unknown, yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, chastened and not killed. Verse 10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Verse 14, and being not unequally yoked. Paul said, I've been in every predicament, every situation. I've been up, I've been down, I've had attacks, I've had supporters. You know, there's a lot about this life we cannot control. A lot of stuff that we can't control. So why do we worry about that stuff? Let's focus on the controllables. Who can I control? Most of the time, me. Most of the time. I'm the only one who can. Nobody else can control me. I'm the only one who can control me, and you're the only one who can control you. It's called self-control. Well, you made me do this. No, you made a choice. You chose your options, and that was the option you chose. Self-control. Verse 14, he said, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." It matters who is in our ears. It matters who's talking. Are they discouragers or are they encouragers? Who's influencing you? Are they building us in our faith or are they drawing us away from God? Are they saying to us, you don't believe all that stuff? Or are they saying, praise the Lord? It matters who's in our ear. It matters who's influencing us. It matters what's on the radio. It matters what book we're reading. It matters what's on the TV. It matters who's sitting with us at lunch. What they say. Are they drawing us to God? Are they building up their faith as they're building up our faith? Or are they encouraging us to do wrong? The Bible says there'll be those who think it strange that you don't run with them anymore. But there's a reason you don't run with them anymore. There's a reason that we don't hang out anymore. There's a reason we don't call them for advice. Who are your advisors? Look at what he says finally in verse 17, your favorite word of a sermon, finally. Verse 17, he said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate." He said, it's time to create, to put some distance between you and those people who are destroying your faith. It's time for us to create some distance, to put some distance between us and those who are dragging us down. It matters. You see, we can make a difference, but we're ambassadors of Christ. We represent heaven, and we represent the church. And when people look at us, that's what they think of Jesus. So are we two-faced? Are we hypocrites? Or are we living consistently by the Word of God? Are we living consistently a Christian life? Not saying we never fall short. Guys, the truth is we all fall short. But do they see Jesus in us? That's what the church is supposed to be, a reflection of Jesus. Go back to verse 1, last thing he said, "Receive not the grace of God in vain." We can do something with this salvation. We can do something with this faith. We have access to God Almighty. Why would I worry when I could go sit at his feet and tell him what I need? Why would I stress when I can go sit at his feet and ask for his help? Why should I worry when I know? I got a call the other day that my friend died. When I say friend, I mean friend. We were close like brothers. His dad called and he told me he died. And we've been praying and we had talked just the day before about the situation. I was not expecting that phone call. But immediately I said, guys, this is not a religious thing. This is not hypocritical. This is not fake. In a moment, I felt such sadness. And then I got an impression in my mind of him in heaven, not sick anymore. He's not sick anymore. That's what we have in our salvation. We have the promise of eternal life with God. So I don't have to be miserable and I don't have to weep. And I'm not judging anybody for weeping. I cry too. But I'm saying this. I know that he's better today because I know that he's born again. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Receive all that comes with it. And enjoy your salvation, reflecting Christ. Would you stand this morning? If you're here this morning and you have not accepted Christ your Savior, you don't have to come down the aisle, but would you please reach out to God right now and say, God, I am a sinner and I need Jesus. And I know He died on the cross for my sins, and I ask You to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to You. I want all that comes with my salvation. I want to know the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I want to know the access of sitting at the throne and talking to You about my burdens and my needs and my problems. I want to know the peace that passes all understanding by trusting You. I don't want to receive the grace of God in vain. I want to be an ambassador for Christ. Maybe here this morning you say, Pastor, I'm saved, I'm baptized, but I haven't been living for Jesus. In fact, I've been a hypocrite. If people look at this church the way they see me, then their impression of the church is not very good. And more than that, if they look at Jesus and they judge Jesus based on me, then their judgment will not be very positive. Guys, I want everybody to know my Jesus and love my Jesus, but I want them to see in me my Jesus. I want them to see Jesus in us. Because you know what that'll do to people? It'll give them hope. And they'll be drawn to God. In all those circumstances He talked about, when we're broke, when we're broken, when we're in need, when we're beaten down, when we're discouraged, and somebody says, how you doing? And you say, God is good. You say, what do you mean God is good? You've lost everything. Your life is a mess. Well, I'm just trusting the Lord. I know He'll get me through it. You say, but Pastor, I thought when you were saved, you didn't have to go through that stuff. If we don't go through that stuff, how are we going to relate to people that are going through that stuff? How can we help them if we've not walked in that valley also? Let's turn our messes into messages, our tests into testimonies. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, this is your opportunity. Would you come? Good Lord, and dismiss a prayer. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?